When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real
2.
My name is Mike Lee Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame Incarta. Yeah.
That is a very interesting name that you're going to...
It is. It's a good one.
You're continuing to use that.
Sure, yeah.
Yes. Did you legally change that?
Well, define legal. I mean, just as legally as Russia is invading Ukraine, I guess, you know, just as legal as that. So, no, it's not legal.
So you're telling me that you're Ukrainian. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying I'm Russian and never mind. It was a bad joke.
You better slow down if you're Russian.
It didn't land. Yeah, that's right. Wow.
So, anyways,
quit Stalin. What was the one joke? Quit Stalin and grab a beer, or
quit,
or
I don't
something
know,
like that. Never.
Quit Stalin. You're Russian. Anyways,
that's what it was. Quit Stalin. Enough with the Russian jokes. I don't have anything against Russian.
No, me
people.
Either.
But I just think Vladimir Putin's a piece of shit. Okay. Anyway.
Yes. So, who knows? By the time this airs, what'll happen in the world?
Yeah.
But anyways, so this week on the show, we are covering a very interesting unsold pilot called Nobody's Watching, which was a show written by and co-created by Bill Lawrence of Scrubs and Spin City fame, as well as Neil Goldman and Garrett Donovan, who were writers for both Scrubs and Family Guy. The pilot was developed for the WB television network, which no longer exists. But the network passed on it, and this was for the 2005 schedule, after test audiences seemed confused by its premise. Which, it didn't seem that confusing to me, but...
No, I think it was pretty straightforward, but okay.
Yeah.
But this is a WB audience, so, you know.
Yeah. They were too worried about who Joey Potter ended up with, whether it's Dawson or Pacey or something.
Yeah.
However, in June of 2006, the pilot did leak onto YouTube. And quickly attracted the attention of viewers around the world. So, then they took it over to NBC President Kevin Reilly, who seemed to want to revive the show, but that never went through either. Yeah. That's the history of that show.
That's the story of, when you say nobody's watching, which is ironic because pretty much probably everybody's watching right now. You know, your internet's probably being monitored and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of an ironic twist, but,
They did an interesting thing too, though. The characters of Will and Derek from the show appeared as extras on certain NBC television shows in preparation for the show to possibly be picked up, including Days of Our Lives, the soap opera.
Interesting. And one of the actors, was that Chris Killam?
Taron Killam.
Sorry, Taron. Was that him?
Yes, it was Taron Killam. Yes.
Okay. He looked like it was him. I wasn't sure, though.
Yeah, it was him post The Amanda Show, pre-Saturday Night Live.
Okay, yeah, cool. I liked it personally.
I did too.
You're probably gonna ask that first what I thought of it or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, I was gonna ask you what you thought of this pilot here, Matthew.
I liked it a lot. I mean, this reminds me of a certain era of TV history where it really seems like around 2000 I would say even going as far back as maybe 2003, but really didn't pick up steam until like around 2005, 2006, the whole meta humor thing. That was still kind of, at least in my mind, kind of in its infancy. So the format wasn't really kind of like established yet. Like you said, audiences were kind of confused. Like, well, wait a minute, this is an actor who's playing himself. Like, how does that work into a TV show? Like, back then, that was kind of like, right now we're totally used to that. Like right now, probably hundreds of shows do this.
Yeah, and I mean, shows did that at that time where people would play themselves on it. Like you'd have like Mark Hamill show up on Third Rock from the Sun or something and play Mark Hamill, but still.
But yeah, it was I liked it. I mean, personally, I would have watched it. I mean, if they had like a regular, like every week, every Thursday. Even if it was like the 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I would imagine since the show being kind of how it was, kind of weird how it was, I would imagine they would probably put that at like 10 o'clock, just late at night.
And I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of like something. I mean, it was kind of surreal and stuff, but it also and very meta. But I mean, just shortly after this, shows like 30 Rock came out on TV and they were kind of behind the scenes of television and, not exactly the same kind of thing, but it was similar in a way,
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I mean, I would have, if they could even bring it back, I would watch it if they, were ever, I mean, I don't know if they would 17 years later, but I would watch it, as on a weekly basis. Sure. Why not?
I mean, something like this would do really well on an HBO Max or a Netflix or something right now, So, what happened in this pilot here, Matt?
It's two dudes who work together and I think probably live together. They grew, they grew up watching TV together because, the one guy, his mom worked at the Cracker Barrel, so he didn't have a dad, so he had to basically stay over at his friend's house, during like the intermediate hours or whatever before his mom would come home from work, and they'd watch TV together, and that was kind of like their sort of bonding experience, and they grew to love TV so much that they, wanted to write, a show because they started to realize that the new shows coming out were dumb. They just didn't like it. Like, I think they mentioned Yes, Dear and a couple other shows that they thought were just bad TV.
Yeah, they did have that joke, like, oh, they picked up the dog, and it's like, why did you make a Yes, Dear on the carpet?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, Dear. I think they mentioned Rescue Me, too. I'm not sure. Maybe not, but I don't know. And so they made a tape, an actual VHS tape, and then sent that to Warner Brothers, and then Warner Brothers basically challenged them, like, okay, do you think that you can write a better show than us? And they said, oh yeah, definitely. So then Warner Brothers invites them out to, to Hollywood, and basically tells them that the show is going to be a reality show of them trying to write the show. So it's like a meta within a meta universe, kind of.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the premise. I mean, that's pretty, and then, you know, other stuff happens, but that's pretty much it, you know?
Yeah, there are two guys from Union, Ohio, named Derek and Will. Will is played by Paul Campbell. They meet the head of WB, character named Jeff Tucker, played by Paul Adelstein, or Stein, I don't know. Creative VP Roy Ingold, played by Bob Clendalin, who is a very underrated comic actor. He was on the TV show 10 Items or Less. He's currently in development with a new show right now with a former guest of our show, John Lear. So they're hoping to team up again and do another show. So
he's a very underrated actor, but he's also very subtle. That could be the reason why too. His humor is very, it's very, you have to sort of
droll.
you have to really kind of have a talent, I guess, for honing in on that kind of humor, because otherwise you might miss it. You know, like, oh, what's this random dude? But like, you know what's going on. He's hilarious. Like,
yeah,
you know.
And hopefully we'll have him on the show in the future sometime. That'd be cool. We can talk to John and maybe we can get him on. If you're listening, John, let me know. I'd like to have you on again too. Anyway, so they introduce Tucker's assistant, who is introduced as Jill something.
Yeah, Jill something. Yeah, that's her name. Really. Yeah,
played by Lauren Bittner. Basically, Tucker, you know, like you were saying, tells them, hey, create your own sitcom here. And while they're working on it, they get to live basically at the studio with an audience in front of them at all times. On various sitcom type sets, like a office and a house and a, you know, whatever else there was. Yeah. And they have a camera crew following them around all of the Warner Brothers studios when they're not on sets. And a live studio audience, like I said, is there as they're on the working sets, which, yeah, creepy.
What about even, like, all day, all night, like, even when they're sleeping? Are they still there? Or?
Yeah, they were supposed to sleep there.
Okay. No, I mean, would the audience still be there when they're sleeping?
I'm assuming.
Okay.
I don't know, though. So, after setting everything up here, the show goes into the rest of the episode focuses on, Derek and Will's first day trying to come up with the sitcom while living on this set. They end up hiring Jill something as their assistant. And then they do a pity hire of a sexy girl named Mandy, played by Marika Monroe. Mircea Monroe, sorry. I'm bad at pronouncing names. she had just been fired from the WB gift shop because she didn't think it was because she voiced her opinion that putting the words Smallville on men's jockey shorts probably wouldn't be a good idea. Yeah. So,
wow.
Yes. So Tucker and Ingold end up interfering, and introduce narrative conflicts through the show, like reality TV people do.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Tucker tells Derek that he would rather continue the show without Will, and demands, and so then Derek is caught on camera then saying that he agrees with that and that he could do the show without Will. Which they then play back for Will, so they, you know, create this fake conflict in the show. He also insists that Mandy kiss Will even though she likes Derek.
And Derek's the one that hired her. Is that the one?
No, Will's the one that hired her, but she prefers Derek, which is Taron Killam's character.
Oh, see, that confused me.
Yeah.
When, because it. Okay, so I got confused by the names for it, man. Because he's like, I have more.
Yeah, after she got to the set, she kind of basically started having like some chemistry with Derek.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was just confused because it seemed like at first, you know, when Derek was talking to her, that seemed like she kind of, you know, they got each other, understood each other, whatever. So I was confused because I thought that the producers got the two guys' names mixed up because, like, they didn't care about them, you know, whatever.
They
like,
may have. Who knows?
Okay. I watched it at, like, 4 in the morning, so I probably got confused or whatever. But, okay.
But, yeah, basically, they're living on the set with an audience there. Not a whole lot happens, really. I mean, there's the conflict between Will and Derek there that ends up getting resolved. We do learn that they think that they're alone when they're in the bathrooms, but there's cameras in the toilets and everything.
It's kind of creepy.
Yes.
Well, not kind of. It is.
It is creepy. It's illegal.
It's illegal. Yeah, and there's cameras, like, literally in the actual toilets themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Like in the urinals. Yes.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the show, the title is explained in the last scene. The cast is hanging out on the sitcom set, with the live audience reacting as if it's an actual show, you know, which is weird because they laugh at things and do their awes and everything like that to everything that the guys are doing in their real lives, basically. Will says that Nobody's Watching is a perfect name for a sitcom they are developing. Thus, Nobody's Watching is the name of the fake sitcom in the fake reality show Nobody's Watching.
Yeah, I get it.
So Nobody's Watching is the name of the show within the show within the show. And,
you get it?
Yep.
Get it? Good.
Derek protests then that Nobody's Watching is a terrible name because critics will constantly ridicule them with comments like, Nobody's Watching, Nobody's Watching.
Right.
And,
and then Nobody did watch because they passed on the...
Well, nobody could watch. People did like it once they could watch it. I guess they did. They did do a few follow up, like YouTube videos, which I can't find anywhere. But
really?
Yeah, we probably took them down since then. I did forget that at one point we do see Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
James Avery. We see Tom Bosley from Happy Days, who played Mr. C on Happy Days. And then Alan Thicke, all playing themselves. Alan Thicke from Growing Pains. Then Alan Thicke's there at the show, too, basically to be the dad that Will never had.
Right, yeah, he sings the Growing Pains
theme song. And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Which was a little bit ahead of its time of Alan Thicke playing himself on How I Met Your Mother.
Right. You know what, you notice something too, because it's not related to this, but I was going through like another deep dive of Cobra Kai, and I was just doing some research on William Zabka. Is that his name?
Yeah.
And I never realized that he played himself in How I Met Your Mother, and I thought that was hilarious. He's like, you know, everyone thinks I'm a bad guy in real life just because I played, you know, Johnny Lawrence and the Karate Kid, and they show people like throwing popcorn at him every time he's in the movie theater. And you know, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was on a few episodes of that. And also on How I Met Your Mother, Taron Killam was a recurring character on there, of Gary Blauman.
And, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and in real life, he's married to Kobe Smulders, who played Robin. So,
Interesting.
So, yeah. Do you want to take a quick break and then we can look at some reviews and stuff for this, Matt?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll be right back.
No Outlet Live.
Hey, I'm Jay Remy, host of No Outlet Live. If you're in a podcast that explore any and everything, check us out. We stream anywhere you listen or watch podcasts, or just type No Outlet Live, one word, in your Google search bar to find the show. Live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. No Outlet Live, your road to boredom ends here. Do you like Tessa? Do you think this will be a date that can last?
Well, she's not very articulate.
And we are back. Okay, so you want to hear some reviews here, Matt?
Sure.
Okay, here's one from Martin Haffer, who's a regular reviewer on our show. For some odd reason, he reviews a lot of stuff on the Internet Movie Database, so, and that I happen to read, usually on our failed sitcoms. He said it's a 6 out of 10. He wrote this on June 17th of 2020. It had some promise. Apart from being a bit annoying at times, Nobody's Watching is a failed TV pilot that seemed to have some promise. After all, originality is something decidedly lacking in most TV shows, and it was original. The premise is insane. The WB Network has seen a video created by two ordinary guys, Derek and Will. They essentially complain that most sitcoms stink and that they can make a better one. And in a ludicrous twist, some executives see it and decide to give the two friends a show, or rather a show about making a show. In other words, they'll have a reality TV show where they can show the process of making the show. Of course, it really is a sitcom and none of it is real in the least. The show had promise, but sometimes it seemed to try a bit too hard. It also seemed designed for younger audiences, and I couldn't imagine older folks watching it. Nor, for that matter, most of what's on the WB. If you are curious about this odd show, it's currently on YouTube. yes. Okay, let's see here.
That's where we found it.
Yeah.
Most
of these reviews are very positive. Here's another one from back in 2006, like shortly after it leaked online. It's from Buff38, back in June 28th of 2006. Great show, 9 out of 10. Have to say, I just watched all three parts of this show on YouTube and really enjoyed it. Good chemistry in the cast, a great fresh idea for a show, and funny enough to compete with most of the Yes, Dear on TV now. I would love to see something come of it rather than it being passed up by the networks. Be great to see more of this sort of thing on the internet too, so we can see what kind of shows they are passing on. Anyone know if it's truly dead in the water, or is there still life in it? And they were asking that back in June of 2006. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they must have had the next two episodes on YouTube back then, but
I think at the time there was a time limit on YouTube, so you could only do like 10-minute increments in videos. So
That's right. Yeah, I remember that. That was such a dumb thing. And then it was 15 minutes, and then it was any amount, I think, or not. I don't know. It's weird, because sometimes I see videos that are literally 72 hours long of just like a fan, you know, going on. But then I read that YouTube only lets you do 10 hours, so I'm not sure how they are managed to
I don't know.
It's kind of like me in the music I do, my mashups, where, you know, I'll get a copyright flag for using, you know, copyrighted material, but then I follow a whole bunch of other mashup artists on YouTube, not just DJ Cummerbund, he's my favorite, but there's other ones too, and they're all able to somehow use music videos and stuff, so I don't know what they're doing that somehow bypasses copyright law when they're getting like hundreds of thousands of views, but like at most I get like maybe 40 views and half of them are me and my parents and maybe you. I don't understand how YouTube is going after me like that guy right there. He used a music video, but, oh, DJ Cummerbund, he's got 500,000 views. Ah, who cares? I'm like, he's got a greater reach, so what does that mean? He's doing worse damage for copyright violation? But, okay, whatever.
Or he has some kind of deal with YouTube.
I doubt it though, because you know, these matchup artists are not rich. No. None of them are. Like they're not. This is just something they do for fun. Like this is not. Like he does. I'm not disparaging him. He's a great, great artist, musician, but he doesn't like have like clout when it comes to that kind of thing. So I have no idea. Maybe he does. Maybe he asked, "Hey, YouTube, you know, can I do this? Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should contest some copyright claim to just say, hey, you know, I'm just doing this for fun, or I'm doing it for a, you know, creative project."
I would contest them all, honestly, if I were you.
Yeah, I'm just going to start doing that, so. Which is weird. Yeah, there's no reason, but the Katy Perry stuff I do always seems to be fine. I never had an issue with the Katy Perry stuff. But the one thing that I had issues with was M83, which is a French electronic rock kind of duo. Don't get me wrong, M83 is an awesome band, but pretty sure Katy Perry's a bigger artist than M83, but yet Katy Perry's free reign, apparently, but M83 isn't. I'm very fascinated by the inconsistency of like copyright law. It's a very interesting subject. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent.
Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, and it just could be that they're different... publishers have different issues with things, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe one's more lenient than the other.
Mm-hmm. And I know GM is really the hard ass about stuff. They don't like that.
Yeah.
Or is it MG? I don't remember which one, but yeah.
Anyways, any other thoughts here on this episode here, Matt?
No, not really. I mean, it was pretty straightforward. There wasn't a lot that went into the, you know, I mean, it was pretty... wasn't a lot of activity in the episode, so...
Yeah, this one's kind of a... probably a short episode that we're doing here, but that's probably because this, you know... not a lot happened in this episode, and also it was good. I mean, as opposed to a lot of the other ones that are easier to talk about because they're bad.
Exactly. It's much easier to complain about stuff, totally. And, you know, that's actually a psychological fact. It's much easier to find stuff wrong with things than right with things, so... I mean, what's that?
I will say it was kind of cool seeing a young Taron kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him, you know, I remember he was on the Amanda show and he was, you know, younger than this even, so, but yeah.
Never saw that show, Amanda's show.
Yeah, it was on, you know, it was like kind of a All That spinoff sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
That's where Drake and Josh got their start.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of How I Met Your Mother... one of them, is it Drake or Josh in How I Met Your Father?
Yeah,
Josh.
Because Drake, we could do a whole episode about sometime, and we should.
Why is that? Is he, like, bad or something? He's a
piece of shit human being. Jesus. Drake Bell sexually groomed a bunch of underage girls and stuff.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, yeah.
A lot of that going on.
Yeah, and then he moved to Mexico and stuff, too. So, yeah.
Like, did he flee or something, or did he just move there? Like,
he moved there, but I mean, that has nothing to do with anything, I don't think. He's saying that it had nothing to do with it, but supposedly he, like, you know, was sexually, you know, grooming and also harassing and possibly raping girls, like, as, you know, young as 15 and stuff and different
things. Jesus, so, that's terrible, man. Yeah. That's something. I've been watching a video by her name is Jessie Gender on YouTube. She's got a great channel. She does a lot of video essays, and her latest one is about cancel culture, but it's like posed to cancel culture, but not for the reasons that, like, for the people who like defend Dave Chappelle as though he's like a living deity. Yeah. It's more of like when people come with like the torches and pitchforks, which I don't believe they do, but whatever, I don't really agree with her assessment even on that. But her argument is when that happens, like when you're just asking for blood, like it causes the people who are being accused to become martyrs within their own group. And then nobody ever asks for them to like take accountability for themselves, because since they become the real victims, then it becomes a whole thing of like, oh, Dave Chappelle's being canceled, so we gotta stand with him, and you know, and like, so there's no like,
well, it That's the problem with the word canceled. I mean, it's the stupidest word ever.
Yeah, I know.
It's, you know, it's consequences. It's not canceling. I mean, the thing is, it's like if you do something like sexually harass somebody or say something homophobic or whatever, there should be some kind of accountability for that. You can't just seem to get away with it. I mean, you have all the right in the world to say whatever you want, but when you know, double down and triple down on it and don't understand that you're hurting people by saying what you say, or more specifically when you're, you know, even worse, when you're somebody like a Bill Cosby or a Drake Bell or something where you actually sexually harass people or sexually molest or rape people.
Right.
Yeah. All the right in the world that those guys should be canceled. You know, I'm not just giving somebody like Dave Chappelle a pass or anything, but what he did pales in comparison to what Bill Cosby did. You know, so
right, yeah, exactly. But anyway, so like the first, she has like a video that's like 2.5 hours long. I've been watching it in pieces just because it's so long. But like, she dedicated like the first like 40 minutes of it to Josh Whedon, and holy shit, I had no idea the extent Josh Whedon or Joss.
Joss.
Oh, Joss. No, Whedon, sorry.
Yeah, it's just okay. Joss.
Yeah. Yeah, but I had no idea of the extent of, like, all the allegations about stuff and whatever. It was pretty wild.
Yeah.
And then she went to J.K. Rowling, but she actually didn't talk that much about her, which is good, because I think she gets way too much press as it is. So
it's a tricky subject, too, when you get to something like a J.K. Rowling or a Joss Whedon or a Bill Cosby, even, you know, when you think about the good that they accomplished in their careers for other things, you know, but then they also were horrible people. It's like, I mean, obviously in certain ways, some are worse than others, but,
obviously my whole thing is, my thing is, and you know, it might seem like a cop out, but I've thought about this quite a bit. So it's not just, I didn't just come to this just like thinking about it for 2 seconds and like lazy. Oh, okay. But my whole thing is, I don't think the good outweighs the bad, but I also don't think the bad outweighs the good. That's my stance on it.
Obviously,
exist simultaneously. Yeah,
it's like, I mean, I just watched, I mean, speaking of like stuff like this, and the reason that Bill Cosby's on my mind is because I watched W. Kamau Bell's 4-part documentary series, We Need to Talk About Cosby. And it brings up a lot of good points. Like he did a lot of good for the African-American community and civil rights and things of that nature. But the whole time he was doing this, it's like he was out there, you know, raping women, you know, drugging them and raping them. And it's like, how do you reconcile those two people being the same person?
Right, exactly. And 'cause then you got to ask yourself, well, you know, was he doing the good things to basically counteract the bad things if he was ever caught, or if he was actually sincere while doing the good things, but also sincere while doing the bad things.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like a point that W. Kamau Bell brought up in an interview that I listened to with him recently, is like, you got somebody like, you know, like, that did a lot of good for the African-American community, like Richard Pryor, who never claimed to be a good person. But then you have somebody like Bill Cosby who's out there, and the same thing with Joss Whedon as well, who's out there trying to paint this picture of being this progressive person who is trying to make changes in the world and be good for, you know, people of color or women, and you know, try to create change within the industry that they actually did change. But they're putting this veneer on themselves where they're this good person, and that whatever they say should be listened to and the law. But then the whole time behind closed doors, they're treating people like shit.
Right, exactly. That was kind of the theme of that video. Of like, that's like, sometimes you ask me like if I'm ever like would recommend anything. I recommend the station, her name is Jessie Gender.
Yeah.
It's J-E-S-S-I-E space gender, as in, you know, the word gender, like, J-E-N-D-E-R. You know, she's a transgender creator. I'm not outing her. She's she's out herself, you know. Yeah. But like, and she does a lot of good. She does a lot of stuff about Star Trek, a lot of videos. But she's really into like.
Yeah, I've watched a few of her videos. Okay. They're actually really good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's very good videos, and that was kind of the main thing too. Is like when like a person almost attains like a state of godhood within their industry, where it's like they start taking on like their own mythos, like they start believing the hype themselves. Like, oh, I am infallible. Like, I am perfect. Like everything I touch turns to gold. So whatever I do is good, no matter what. I'm entitled to this stuff. If anyone denies me anything, it's their problem. They're the bad guy, you know, and that's really dangerous. When you have people that you surround yourself with who are pretty much just yes men or yes women or yes non-binary people.
Or they watch the TV show Yes, Dear.
Or yeah, they watch the show Yes, Dear, of course. anyone who watches Yes, Dear is anti-woke, so no. I don't know. Makes no sense, but
yeah.
How do we get on this exactly? It doesn't matter. We always go on
but anyways, back
it to doesn't the, matter.
Yeah, but I mean, basically, you know, just be good people. You don't have to worry about somebody canceling you if you actually are, you know, a good person. You know, quote unquote canceling. But yeah. Anyways, any other final thoughts here before we wrap things up, Matt?
No, just, you know, if you're a religious person or if you're a spiritual person, I would just suggest that you pray for Ukraine or donate if you have the money to donate to, you know, causes, whether it be for food, aid, or yes, even weapons, if it's legal. I'm not sure if it's legal to donate, to send weapons over there, but you know.
Pretty sure it's not, but, you know.
Well, do whatever is legally within your power is what I'm saying. But that's all I'm saying. If you can get away with it somehow, they do need weapons. I'm just saying that. Yeah. So, whatever you need to do. I'm not advocating breaking the law. I'm just saying if there's ways to skate around it in a legal fashion,
they do need
weapons. It's just a fact of life. Mm-hmm. They do need weapons.
Hopefully by the time this airs, things are better there.
I doubt it,
but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, you know, be safe, people in general. Just, you know, wear masks for the COVID stuff. You know, wear condoms for the other stuff.
Wear condoms for the COVID stuff.
Oh yeah, all the time.
And you wear masks. You wear masks for the sex stuff.
I think you're confused, Matthew.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, you've got that backwards.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so don't cancel him for that. like this show was,
yeah.
And if you want to watch Nobody's Watching, I really hope you already have before we talked about it. But, you know, we'll have the link for the episode in the show notes, or a way to get it at least. You know, check out our TeePublic. We got some cool t-shirts there. We've also got Patreon if you want to help support the show. Give us a 5-star review anywhere you can, even on Spotify. I don't care, you know, just. You know, I don't care if Joe Rogan's on there. And you know, like I said, just be good to each other. That's all I ask of people. And until next time, folks, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.